Well, hello and welcome. It is good to be with you. I look forward to these times that we get to be together and meet with our Lord. They are such a blessing to me. I want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to make these times possible. And I pray these times are as much of a blessing for you as they are for me. I hope that you're having a great day today. As I'm filming this, it's windy and rainy as we get the very edge effects of Hurricane Debbie. And by the time you watch this, it will already have been passed. I hope you came through it well. My understanding from the weather forecast is that there will still be people on Wednesday when this is posted that will still be feeling the effects on the Georgia and South Carolina coast, and we certainly want to be in prayer for them. But again, we're here today in this time to meet with our Lord, and as we think about all these events, certainly the weather, but a time to being together and the time to be in God's Word, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you so much, O Lord, for this day. Lord, your love for us, your grace. Father, for giving us this time, Lord, these means, O Lord, to be able to come together before you. Father, we are thankful, Lord, for your word that you have inspired, you preserved. Lord, we are thankful, O God, for your spirit that you have sent, Lord, to give us the understanding for us to know what your word says, and to hear you speaking through it directly to us. And Lord, we just ask, O God, that you would reveal yourself to us, your ways, Lord, what you want us to know and how you want us to grow. Lord, please do be with all the individuals in the path of this storm. Lord, we just pray for the protection of life, Lord, the homes and property. Lord God, just watch over those individuals. But Lord, again, thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you want us to know you. Thank you that, again, you made it possible for us to be together with you. Speak to us, we pray, Lord. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Amen. You know, I know we've all been through times where we come before God in prayer and look for Him to work. We've quoted many times, one of my favorite Bible verses is Jeremiah 33:3. Where it says, call, where God says, call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. But what do we do while we wait? What do we do when we're in times of waiting, where God's answer is not instantaneous? And we've all been through those times, and you may be in one now where there's been some need or some desire. We've prayed it through. We think that this is God's will. We've sought Him in prayer about it, and yet, you know, it's been days, weeks, months. Some individuals I know of, and especially in relation to spiritual needs for family members, or sometimes even physical needs, as someone, you know, is in declining or bad health, you know, sometimes years, sometimes even decades. What do we do while we're waiting? And that's really the background that we see in Psalm 44. The psalm was, in fact, written by as a maskil of the sons of Korah, so we don't know the actual specific psalmist, nor do we know the actual historical specific situation that had taken place. It's obvious when you read through it that Israel had gone to battle, and fully expecting God to give them a wonderful victory, a wonderful deliverance. And obvious from the context, they had prayed about it. But as of now, they had not experienced victory. In fact, not only had they not experienced victory, but the situation had gotten worse. They had faced defeat. They obviously were expecting deliverance. You get the implication that's quite clear. They had prayed about it. But not only did they not have the victory, they got defeat. Kind of like very similar times, again, we've all been in, where we have prayed, and not only have we not seen God work or move or solve the problem or meet the need, but very frankly, the situation has gotten worse since we prayed than it was before we prayed. What do we do in those times? What do we do when we're waiting upon God when it seems like He's not moving in our favor, but in fact allowing things to get worse? What do we do in those times? And again, for Israel, for the psalmist is a military situation, but we can certainly all apply it to our life, maybe your own life right now. What do we do when we've prayed and all we can do is wait? And many times the situation is getting worse while we're waiting because we've not yet seen God work or move. What do we do? Well, look what we find out as we look through this psalm and work our way through it. The first thing we need to do is remember God's past works. Think about what we see in verses 1 through 3. O God, we've heard with our ears, our fathers have told us the work that you did in their days, in the days of old. You, with your own hand, drove out the nations. Then you planted them. You afflicted the peoples. Then you spread them abroad. For by their own sword they did not possess the land, and their own arm did not save them. But your right hand and your arm and the light of your presence, for you favored them. He's looking back specifically on the conquest, that is, when God led Israel across the Jordan into the promised land under the human leadership of Joshua. God was the one ultimately leading them. And God gave them possession of the land. God drove the enemies out in front of them, and God gave the land to his people. A tremendous demonstration of God's love and his power, his provision, his capability. All of it due only to God's grace and brought about by his power. And the psalmist is looking back and saying, you know, God, they called upon you and you answered them. You gave them victory. He's remembering what God had in fact done in the past. And what a lesson for us. We need to remember what God has done in the past. When we're waiting and we're not seeing anything move that improves the situation, we need to remember God's past works. Obviously, first and foremost, through the scriptures. As well, also in addition to that, Christian biographies where you can see how God worked in individual lives. Maybe testimonies of individuals you know of, how God worked and met their need, or looking back at events in your own life. But we need to remember what God has done in the past. It redirects our thinking back onto God. Let's be honest, it calms us down. It builds our faith. We need to remember God's past works. And if you are in one of those waiting times in your life and things aren't getting better, and maybe for you right now they're actually getting worse, remember God's past works. Again, beginning with Scripture, you think about this very same episode that the psalmist was looking about, the conquest, how God gave his people the land of Canaan, the victories. You think of Jericho. You think of Ai. You think of the situation involving the Gibeonites. You think about all the people groups there and the victory that God gave to his people, the land he gave his people. Remember God's past works. But then notice as well, we need to, number two, renew trust in God. We need to renew the fact that our trust, our confidence is in God. Think about what we see in verses 4 through 8. You are my king, O God. Command victories for Jacob. Through you we will push back our adversaries. Through your name we will trample down those who rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, nor will my sword save me. But you have saved us from our adversaries. You have put to shame those who hate us. In God we've boasted all day long, and we will give thanks to your name forever. You think about what the psalmist is saying, about what the psalmist is praying at this point. God, you are my king. He's renewing there his submission, his obedience unto God. God, my trust is in you. He's renewing his trust in God. As he looked back, remember, it was God who had given Israel the victory, and he's looking and committing himself to that very same God. In those times of waiting, again, where it doesn't seem like anything good is happening, and it may even be getting worse, it's so easy for us to get weary and worn down, we need to consciously, deliberately renew our trust in the Lord. We need to go before him. God, I don't understand what's taking place or why, but God, my faith, my trust, my confidence are in you. You know, it's amazing we come before God, even sometimes before we see the situation change. It's amazing the calmness and the peace that he'll give us, the assurance of his nearness and his love. I think about another verse that we've looked at many times, but Isaiah 40, 31, where it says, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. It is amazing. When we renew our trust in God, the calmness, the peace that He gives us even in the midst of the problem, even before we begin to see Him working and moving to solve it. And if you're in a time of waiting and things aren't getting better and things may even visually seem to be getting worse, again, remember God's past works and renew your trust in the God who did those things. We need to renew our trust, just as the psalmist here is. He's, in fact, looking back to God again. But then notice what else. Number three, we need to seek God. Now, you think, well, that's obvious. That's what you're trying to do. You're going before God. You're asking Him to work, to move, to solve the problem, meet the need, whatever the case may be. And that's true, but this actually goes beyond that. Seeking God Himself, because it may very well be that in this time or period, He's either deliberately caused it to happen or is using it because there's something that He's wanting to do in our lives, or some way He's wanting us to grow, some lesson that He's in fact wanting us to learn. You think about what we see, and I know it's a long section, but think about what He's saying in verses 9 through 25. Yet you have rejected us and have brought us to dishonor, and do not go out with our armies. You cause us to turn back from the adversary, and from those who hate us have taken spoil from themselves. You give us as sheep to be eaten and have scattered us among the nations. You sell your people cheaply and have not profited by their sale. You make us as a reproach to our neighbors, a scoffing and a derision to those around us. You make us a byword among the nations, a laughingstock among the peoples. All day long my dishonor is before me and my humiliation has overwhelmed me because of the voice of him who reproaches and reviles, because of the presence of the enemy and the avenger. All this has come upon us, but we've not forgotten you, and we've not dealt falsely with your covenant. Our heart has not turned back. Our steps have not deviated from your way. Yet you have crushed us in the place of jackals and have covered us with the shadow of death. If we had forgotten the name of our God or extended our hands to a strange God, would not God find this out? For he knows the secrets of the heart. But for your sake we're killed all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Arouse yourself, O God. Why do you sleep, O Lord? Awaken and do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our affliction and our oppression? For our soul has sunk down into the dust. Our body cleaves to the earth. As he wrestles with the situation, do you see there what he's asking? He knows that God's in control, and he understands God's purposefully doing this. And he's asking God, what is it that you're trying to do in this situation? God, what is it that you're wanting me to learn? We need to seek God, yes, for the answer, for the solution, to be sure. But for whatever else it is that God is wanting to do in the situation. Sometimes God is cleansing our life of sin. Let's be honest, these times of waiting like this, these are purifying times in our life and in our walk. Many times he does it to grow and mature and deepen our faith. None of us liked the experience. None of us, you know, like that it sometimes takes this. But let's be honest. Is our faith not deeper and stronger after times such as the psalmist is going through here? In fact, is most of us readily admit that our faith wouldn't be as strong or as deep as it is if it had not been for such times? Again, the deepening of our faith, and possibly the preparing us for some other work that God is, in fact, again, growing us, maturing us. We need to be seeking God, yes, for the answer, but also for whatever else it is that God's wanting to do, and specifically wanting to do in us. God, what are you wanting to say? What are you wanting to do needs to be our prayer. You know, repeatedly in those last verses, he asked why? And sometimes people ask, you know, is it wrong to ask God why? And really, the answer to that question depends on why you're asking. And every parent knows this. There is the why of rebellion. You know, why are you doing this? But there's also the why of sincerely wanting to know. God, why are you doing this? Is there something you want me to learn? And again, every parent knows this. Every person who's ever worked with a child knows this. You give an instruction, And you get the immediate question why. If you know that child on any level, you can discern the difference between a why of just rebellion and balking at your instructions versus a why of honestly, sincerely wanting to know. This is where the psalmist is. He's been brought to that point, God, I want to know what you're wanting to do. And we need to have that very same mindset. God, is there something you're wanting to teach me? Something you're wanting to show me? Something you're wanting to sift out of my life? Some way you're wanting me to grow, mature, and deepen? We need to be seeking God. While God is far beyond our ability to comprehend, He will reveal to us what He wants us to see and know and learn if we will but seek Him. And so we need to seek God. But then notice, number four, we need to glorify God. Certainly once the situation's over with, but as the commitment of our life, even in the midst of the problem. You think about what we see in verse 26. Rise up and be our help and redeem us for the sake of your loving kindness, for the sake, O God, of your loving kindness, your reputation, your honor, your glory, for your sake. There's a commitment here to God's honor and glory. There's a commitment here to praising and giving testimony and honor unto God. We need to have the commitment to glorify God. Yes, when He solves the problems, that we readily share that with others, but even in the midst of it, that we truly do want to glorify God. You know, the day I wrote this devotion, I was in the book of Colossians, and for my own private devotion time, and came across Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. So it wonderfully applies to what we're talking about here, this aspect of glorifying God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. The idea being there to give honor and praise to glory, even while we're waiting. And certainly when God has moved in that situation, there needs to be a commitment in our heart from this moment on that we want to glorify God. And so, yes, you know, I think we can all identify with the psalmist, maybe not in the specific situation of a military defeat and wondering why, but we've gone through times where we've prayed, it doesn't seem like God has worked or moved. If anything, the situation's gotten worse. Remember God's past works. Renew your trust in Him. Seek Him and commit to glorifying God. And like Israel, whether in the conquest or when you read through those other times when Israel sought the Lord, we'll see Him work and move in a powerful way. And so if you have been waiting on God, and it may for you may have been days, weeks, months, years, maybe decades, don't lose heart. Learn from the psalmist. Remember God's past works. Renew your trust in Him. Seek Him. God, what is it that you're wanting to do in me in this situation? And commit yourself to glorifying God. And you will see Him work and move with His perfect solution in His perfect time. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you, O God, again for your word. And Father, just the way that this book of Psalms addresses us, Lord, in the very real issues of everyday life. Father, may we not just learn and hear with our head, but oh God, may we learn with our heart and carry out with our feet. Father, may we follow you as we have seen you reveal yourself in your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.